If you have your Bible with you this evening, turn with me to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, story that we're well aware of. Moses here is on the backside of the desert. I wonder what Moses was really feeling at this point in his life. Here he was, an educated man, a talented man. Spent nearly 40 years in the courts of Pharaoh. He knew what wealth was. He knew what it was to have everything at his fingertips. He knew what it was to have power. All the comforts and the conveniences of life. Tucked down in his heart, we find that Moses had a knowledge of God, even though those many years in the courts of Pharaoh could have changed all that, could have eaten away at all of that foundation that his mother had instilled in him or had built his life upon. But Moses is now, even though he's educated and talented and so many things in his life would point to greatness, now we find him in the desert. He is not in charge of a great host of people. He's not a manager of some big production somewhere. He's not leading a group of people. He's simply, I don't know if we really ought to say it in a derogatory way or not, but he's simply leading sheep. And they're not even his. He's working for somebody else. I wonder what he was thinking at this point in his life. I wonder if he was thinking, what is there any benefit at all to me being out here on the backside of a desert? You've heard me say before that I wonder what the backside of a desert really consists of. I know that the deserts in that area, I don't understand how a person can feed a flock of sheep in the deserts of that area. Don't understand that at all. Didn't seem to me like there was anything there to feed on, and yet they had their flocks out. But what was a man with all of these talents, all of these abilities, all of this education doing? Why was he wasting his life? Why was he spinning his wheels? We see that 80 years has passed. There's roughly 80 years that has taken place here, and Moses has not gained any CEO position. He is feeding or leading somebody else's sheep. Would you be depressed at that point? We can be honest this evening. It would be a little difficult for me to be thinking that at that age, that's all the further I've gotten. That's all the more that I've accomplished. What am I doing spinning my wheels out here at this age when I have all of this talent? You say, well, that's not me. Well, let's not look so much at the talent. Let's not look so much at his education. Let's just look at his life. And he's simply a sheep herder for somebody else. Is it possible for us to fit ourselves into his shoes at this point and say, possibly with him, if only my circumstances were different. If only my circumstances were different. If only I had more ability, or if only I had more opportunity. If only I had something of a greater door to open up for me. But whatever was going through Moses' mind, at this point in his life, God speaks to him out of an unusual circumstance, but the voice speaks to him, God's voice speaks to him and says to him, the ground where you are standing is holy. The ground where you stand is holy. Don't come any closer. Don't go any further away. I want you to stop right here. I want you to pay attention, because right here is an encounter with God. What a wonderful story it is. What a wonderful eye-opening thought that is brought to us. This was God's first lesson, perhaps, to Moses. Before Moses was going to be able to go and deliver God's people out of bondage, he had to first learn this lesson, that where he was standing was holy ground. So, well, what does that mean? What's the significance of that? Well, I think that at least a portion of the significance of that is that this is God-ordained position. These are God-ordained circumstances. This is what God wants you to do. This is where God wants you to be. There may not appear to be any benefit of feeding somebody else's sheep on this desert plain, but God has a purpose. God has a plan. And God wanted him to know that his 40 years of feeding sheep was just as valuable as the years that he spent in education and in the riches of Pharaoh's house. I think it's significant here for us to realize that the situation of Moses was that the last 40 years of his life was just as important as the first 40 years in order to fulfill the next 40 years. That may be depressing, to go through college, as it were, for 80 years in order to live 40. But in essence, is what was going on. If we can bring this in, combine all of this for our lives, you and I aren't going to live to be 120, more than likely. Some of us are going to be doing good to hit the 80 mark. So if we condense this into our lives, it's easy for us then to understand something that many people cannot grasp and many people have not understood. And that is that our circumstances, whether they be good or bad, is what makes us who we are. The path that we walk is ordained by God. If we are wanting Him and seeking Him and following Him, and in this case we find that Moses may not have always had God's will in mind. May not always have. It appears that Moses did some soul searching, some soul seeking. He was doing some seeking somewhere along the line, because God was able to use him as a great leader. But all of these years combined brought him to the point where he would then be able to lead God's people. When we think about our circumstances, oh, if only I had a greater opportunity. If only I had bigger opportunities. Really, the place whereon we stand is holy. Serve God there. Obey God there. Love God there. Be the man or the woman that God wants you to be right there. There's another voice that is speaking to us, though. That voice is telling us that it really can't be done here. This is really a desert place here. This is a dark place here. But God's lesson to Moses was, here is where I have you. Here is holy ground. You flip over to the next chapter, and it's another message for another time, or another thought for another time. But God asked Moses very clearly, what is that that's in your hand? Signifying, telling us that what we have within our hand is what we're supposed to do or use for God. We are to do what God wants us to do here. Where we stand is holy ground. It applies to the church. The devil may try to discourage and dishearten, and he does. He does unfortunately, he does a pretty good job of that too many times. Who can do anything in these circumstances? Who can accomplish anything in this desert place? You know, the person that is attending the big church can say, well, you know, what chance do I have of doing something here? Because there's so many people. Nobody wants me. Nobody wants to use to take notice of my talents or to take notice of what I can do. If only I were in a smaller church. But then there's people that are in small churches that would say, if only I were in a big church, if only I had the big opportunities. See, here I am stuck in this little bitty church. I heard that this week, and it's sad that we think. And I can understand the person that's saying it. If we're so small, we just don't have anybody to work with. We just don't. The message is, you can probably say it for me already, can't you? The message is that where we stand, where we are, where we live, it's holy ground. Do what God wants us to do there. If it's a desert, then take it in stride. If it's not a desert, then take it in stride. But where we live, walk with God, feed your sheep, look after them well. Do the best you can. The best you can. When we get discouraged, it's easy to not be doing the best that we can. When we get disheartened, it's easy to kind of relax our efforts or relax our intensity or relax our zeal. Desert or no desert, do the best you can. Feed the sheep. Do the best you can. And God will see that your life or my life is not wasted. See, it applies to all of us. Doesn't matter what size church we're in. It doesn't matter how small, how big. It doesn't matter how great the options may be for somebody else, or how green the grass is on the other side of the fence, or the opportunities of another place. If God opens the door for opportunities of another place, then by all means walk through that door. But in the meantime, do the best that you can with what you have here, with what you have in your hand, with the ground you're standing on is holy. Change in our circumstances doesn't necessarily mean that we will do anything differently. Oh, a change in our circumstances, our change in our situation, it may light a fuse under us for a little while. It may begin to build something for a little while, an excitement that comes for a little while with the newness of the situation. But as that newness wears off, if we can't live where we are, serving God faithfully, we're probably not going to do a whole lot of difference over here somewhere else. In what we think is the big opportunity, the big option, the wonderful place. If only. A lot of people have missed out on God's will by looking at the if onlys. A lot of people have missed the opportunity because they were focused on the if only. And this applies to our present situation or your present situation. Not just the church, but it applies to individuals. Somebody said the devil has only one care, and that is to and that is the present moment. He doesn't mind how many castles you build for the future, provided he can get you to undervalue the place where you are and the work just in front of you. What a powerful statement that is. The devil doesn't care only about the present moment. He doesn't mind how many castles you build for the future, provided he can get you to undervalue the place where you are and the work just in front of you. Moses, here's a bush that's burning but not consumed. It got his attention. We hear God's voice speak to us out of that bush like it did to Moses. Take off your shoes. Where you're standing, it's holy. These are your present circumstances. Follow God in the present circumstances. Be faithful to God. Desert or no desert, walk with God. Feed the sheep. Do the best that you can with what you have. Be faithful to God at the moment. It's called God's call to service. It's holy ground. You and I stand on that holy ground. Say, I'm not standing tonight. I'm seated. Take it for what it's worth there. Where you are, where you live, where I live, it's holy ground. I look to do all that I can for God in these present circumstances. God's call to service. It's holy ground. Let's stand together tonight. Trust you have a good week this week. Enjoy God's blessings. Give Him praise. Tell somebody else about it. Praise the Lord. Terry, would you dismiss us in prayer?